Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
It's a gloriously beautiful day in Hawaii. Blue skies, some white clouds, and the winds are variable, so it's going to be hot, maybe to 6 miles an hour, possibly 10, depending where you are. It's going to be hot. It's going to be one of those days you got to use sunscreen if you're playing over at Poipu Bay. Fred Tarkington Financial Group is going out today, and there's a 9:30, a 10:40, and a 12 o'clock, and there is at Waikele. You can also play today. There is an 11:59 and a 12:20. Well, the tributes are pouring in after the death yesterday of Muhammad Ali, and Jack Nicklaus said in a statement, "It is an understatement to say that today the hearts of the sports world are heavy with the loss of Muhammad Ali. He transcended not only the sport of boxing, but sports in general. He long ago established a legacy that crossed any boundaries of competition or the borders of just our country. He was a global icon. I was incredibly honored and humbled to receive an award in December bearing his name. That night, I told a story about how the walls of my home are not for plaques and trophies, but rather for photos of my kids and my grandkids. Yet there is one special photo in my office, and that is of Muhammad and me playfully sparring at the PGA Championship in 1996 at Valhalla in his hometown of Louisville. I have always been a great fan of Muhammad because I admired the champion he was in the ring and the champion he became out of the ring for so many causes. I hope on a day when we mourn the loss of the champ, the greatest of all time, we can reflect and appreciate his many contributions, past and present, and ensure that generations going forward will admire and be inspired by all that Muhammad Ali accomplished." We're going to come back and talk with a man who accomplished so much in such a short period of time as the president of the PGA of America. And then tragedy for Ted Bishop, and he wrote a book about it. The name of the book is Unfriended, about his tenure as PGA of America president and the impeachment. We'll be back after this with Ted Bishop. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise, a shopping center, a store, or townhouse, custom or single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right, so call Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. And by Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities, Kauai's South Shore Jam. FuturaStone. FuturaStone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home project into artwork. FuturaStone can build you a special place for your friends and family to gather. Barbecues, fountains, water features, and outdoor lighting. FuturaStone. Only the best. And by Montgomery Power Sports, 550 North Nimitz Highway next to Liliha Bakery, featuring Indian, Victory, Suzuki, and Husqvarna motorcycles, Polaris ATVs, and GEM electric vehicles. Montgomery Power Sports, where first responder discounts never end. Montgomery Power Sports, where the rubber hits the road.
And Ted Bishop, you know, we say the 38th president of the PGA of America, but the bottom line is Ted Bishop is the owner and operator, the creator of the Legends Golf Club in Indiana. He's also a greenskeeper at times. Welcome to the show, Ted Bishop.
Hey, Danielle. Thanks. Glad you had me on today.
Absolutely. Any thoughts about the passing of Muhammad Ali?
Well, absolutely. I saw the news last night that he was gravely ill, and you know, it was really saddened to see that. I grew up in an era, you know, back in the 60s and 70s when boxing was a lot different than it is today, and particularly heavyweight boxing. And, you know, I couldn't help but think that, you know, really of all the great athletes, I suppose, in my lifetime, I can't think of one probably that had a higher profile in a lot of ways in and out of the ring and probably changed so many things as Muhammad Ali did. And I think everybody in the sports world has got to be saddened because the contributions this guy made were unbelievable.
You know, and when he was asked, and he had already been diagnosed with pugilistic Parkinson's, would you do it differently? Would you do it exactly the same way all over again, knowing the outcome? And he said, "You betcha."
Well, and I think, you know, people that don't go back far enough would not remember that, you know, hey, this guy started out as Cassius Clay and changed his name and because of his religious affiliation, and he was very devoted, you know, to his faith and very sincere in that. And, you know, I think what I loved most were the old ABC Wide World of Sports, usually the Saturday after one of his championship heavyweight fights, and Howard Cosell would that back and forth that he and Ali had was just really entertaining.
Truly, the way he would tease him about his hairpiece.
Exactly.
Never gave up on that. Oh boy! All right, we're talking today because your book is finally coming out. When is the release?
Well, actually, we'll have the books in hand middle of next week. We wanted to get them ready for distribution by Father's Day, and I want to thank Mike Beckrich at Classics of Golf Publishing in New York. They were able to pull this off in a real short period of time, and this is the same publisher that did Brandel Chamblee's book, The Anatomy of Greatness. So, you know, for me to be affiliated with these guys was great for me in the book, and they did a tremendous job with the dust jacket. And you know, I'm excited for people to see it. Very pleased with the content and the reaction so far by those that have read it.
Excellent, yes, excellent. I've heard nothing but great things. Of course, I don't have the book, but I've read excerpts, and after talking with you, and after listening to I think it was Callaway Live and watching your interview, mm-hmm. I really got the sense that, unlike the title, it's a very positive book. And I say that with great respect, but because a lot of people are wary of the title is in its entirety, Unfriended, Power Brokers, Political Correctness, and Hypocrisy in Golf. So where did this title come from?
Well, I think if you look at you know, what happened to me on social media, particularly from a Facebook standpoint, everybody's familiar with what the term unfriended means. So I thought that was kind of an apropos main title. And then, you know, there's a chapter in the middle of the book about the people that I consider to be the real power brokers in the game today. And, you know, I think we would all agree that political correctness has taken on really a new life of its own in the last couple of years. And, you know, there's a minor thread maybe of what I deem to be a little bit of hypocrisy in the golf world based on how some things are handled from a political correctness standpoint. But, you know, Danielle, the first couple of chapters are really, that was a chance for me to kind of tell my side of the PGA impeachment story and do it with no filters, do it with no media interpretation, just basically me present the timeline and kind of throw it out there, and people can make whatever judgment they want to make about those circumstances. But then the book as a whole is far more than that. It's the rest of the book is really a series of stories about a lot of the things that I was highly involved with as the president of the PGA of America and an officer of the PGA of America, including my three Ryder Cups, the anchoring debate, the relationship I had with and the PGA had with Arnold Palmer, and so on and so forth. And so I think that, you know, you'll get a copy of it for sure, and you can make your own interpretation when you read the book. But I think it's highly entertaining and people will enjoy it.
Yeah, no, we're talking with Ted Bishop. He served as the 38th president of the PGA of America, the world's largest working sports organization. Many people view your two-year term as the PGA president in 2013-2014. As Golf Digest, Jaime Diaz wrote, Ted Bishop's progressive tenure as president of the PGA of America seemed to pack 10 years into two, raised the profile and the prestige of the organization. Twice named by Golf World magazine as Newsmaker of the Year, of course, with 29 days left in his term, Bishop was impeached by the PGA for remarks he made on social media, which it deemed to be sexist in nature. And that sounds so strong. Now, let's go back to the night that tweet was written. You were in someone's home, and it had been after the Ryder Cup, passionately upset about the loss. Tom Watson was the captain. There was so much talk afterwards. You felt strongly about, of course, wanting to win. This defeat really struck you. And then something happened with Ian Poulter. Where were you, first of all, when all of this happened? Where were you physically?
Well, I was actually in the standing outside the Greenbrier Hotel waiting to go up to Nick Faldo's house for a reception. I was there helping him with the Faldo Junior Series, and I hadn't really paid much attention to what was going on with golf that week because I'd been working all week teaching kids and helping Nick. And so that happened to be the day that Ian Poulter's book, No Limits, had come out, and there were some excerpts that appeared on Jeff Shackelford's blog, and in those excerpts, Poulter was highly critical of both Nick Faldo and Tom Watson. And, you know, I responded on Facebook and Twitter and basically compared Poulter's record as a player in major championships and even Ryder Cups with Watson and Faldo, and, you know, I called him a little girl. And, you know, I didn't mean, you know, my comments weren't meant to be sexist in any way, shape, or form. There was a lot of other ways I could have phrased it, certainly, that would have been better and gotten the point across. But the fact of the matter is, you're right. I mean, I think there had been a lot of frustration that was building up in me in the month after the Ryder Cup. I didn't feel that Tom Watson deserved the criticism that he got. I mean, we got beat by 35 shots in 3 days, and I don't care who the captain was. It wasn't going to make any difference in the outcome. The Europeans clearly had a better team on paper and certainly a better team on the golf course. And I didn't think that Poulter really had any business publicly criticizing Watson, who was a volunteer for the PGA of America, just like I was. So I couldn't help but stand up for two of my friends, and no doubt probably picked the wrong way to do it. But, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, back to your point about, you know, what was accomplished in 2013 and 14. I think one of the things that I'm proudest of in the book, there's an appendix at the back of the book, and a couple of weeks before my impeachment, as I was getting ready to do my farewell speech at the annual meeting in Indianapolis, I'd asked the PGA of America to provide me with kind of a detailed timeline of the events that had taken place in 2013 and 14 that would really kind of help me put into perspective what had been accomplished. And you know, Danielle, sometimes when you're in the heat of the battle like that, like I had been for 2 years as a president, you really just kind of lose track of everything that was done. And the PGA presented me with a 5-page single-space document of things that we had accomplished in a whole variety of different areas over those 23 months. And I felt really good about that. And again, I mean, this book was an opportunity for me to kind of put that out there, and you know, it ends on a note where the reader can be the judge of you know, what kind of president of the PGA of America I am. That's the whole idea of the book, was not necessarily to influence anybody. It was just to kind of tell my story and let people think what they want to think.
You know, that's exactly, you know, that's why the book is really positive. I mean, the title belies what's inside, I think, and that your accomplishments, you've obviously, what you were saying is you've been working for a week before your comments on social media with junior golfers. Your accomplishments include putting it all together and buttoning up drive, chip, and putt, the PGA Junior League, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. Finally, for years I thought, why don't the women have a PGA Championship? Because they're members too. Public golf courses began to hold major championships, the PGA of America and the PGA Tour reconciled, and really from the heart here, the PGA of America and Arnold Palmer's reconciliation over the anchor with anchor putting, you know, the anchor putter, the Deacon Palmer Award was critical. And I think the story that I heard you tell is so beautiful about how your conversation with Arnold Palmer went in that reconciliation. Can you tell us?
Well, sure. You know, we had gone down, and actually the reason for the meeting was not to change his mind on anchoring. It was during the comment period, and it was simply, I wanted to explain to him why the PGA of America had taken the stance that we did. I mean, obviously, you know, Arnold Palmer, his opinion and his thoughts mean a lot to everybody, and certainly the PGA of America. So, you know, when we got done, you know, he was pretty indifferent. I mean, he supported the USGA in the anchoring debate, and I thought our presentation was over with, and I stood up and got ready to leave, and, you know, he looked at me and he said, "What's your hurry? Sit down." So when the king speaks, you know, you sit.
You sit.
And
yes.
As soon as I sat down, you know, he pointed at me and he shook that finger and he says, "Now I'm going to tell you a few things about the PGA of America that you may not know." And there were two things that he pointed out that were clearly under his skin. And he said, you know, first thing was the PGA of America used to have this rule where you had to be a member of the association for 5 years before you were eligible to play on a Ryder Cup. And he said, that cost me 2 Ryder Cups. And he was clearly still hot about that. And, of course, that's been changed, you know, many, many years ago. But he's right about that. And then the second thing was he started talking about his dad. And he said, you know, my father was a cripple. And that's just exactly the way he put it. He said, my father was a cripple. And he said the PGA of America had a clause back then that prohibited handicapped people from becoming members of the association. And I've never forgotten that. And when he said that, I had a pretty extensive background in membership, Danielle, and I, of course, was very much aware of our non-Caucasian clause we had that didn't go away until 1960 and the fact that we didn't admit women into the PGA of America until 1978. But I also knew for sure that we did not ever have a clause that would have prohibited handicapped people from becoming members of the PGA of America. But I did research it. And when I got some information from the PGA of America's membership department, there clearly was a void in when Deacon Palmer was eligible to become a PGA member and when he finally did. And it was about a 10-year, I think it was an 11-year void, if I remember. And back then, the only thing that was really required for someone after they had served 5 years of working on the job to become a PGA member, there was no playing ability test, was you had to have 2 signatures of PGA professionals in the section. And so, who knows? You know, Deacon Palmer got into the business really as a golf course superintendent. Maybe there was some animosity there. Maybe there was some prejudice against him because he was handicapped. But fact of the matter is, it was 11 years, I think, before he actually did become a PGA member. So I felt like once the research was done, that, you know, Mr. Palmer, he believed what he believed for a reason. So the funny thing, and I talk about this in the book, and I haven't shared this story really in any of the interviews I've done, but I wrote him a 3-page letter, and I documented all this stuff, and I never heard from him. And it was like a year later, I'm watching the Arnie series on the Golf Channel, and they talk about this huge storage barn that he's got in Latrobe and how he's taken pride about the fact that he answers every single letter that he's received over the years.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that I had not gotten a response from him. So I was working the ninth hole at the Masters the following year with Dow Finsterwald, and I knew Dow was a good friend of Mr. Palmer's, and I asked Dow, I told him about the letter, and I said, you know, either he didn't get the letter or I really made him mad to the point that he wouldn't respond. And Dow said, you know, I'm going to have lunch with him next week. I'll find out and I'll get back with you. So following week, Dow gives me a call and he said, hey, I had lunch with Arnold today and I mentioned the letter and he pulled it out of his desk drawer. He still has the letter. And I said to Arnold, I said, why haven't you responded? And he said, because I don't know how to respond to the letter at this point. So there was some discussions with Dow, and I kind of threw this idea at him about, you know, we've had some internal talks about really coming up with an award called the Deacon Palmer Award. And I said, this would be significant because what the award would stand for, it would go to a PGA member who had overcome some obstacle in their lifetime, who had had a very successful career at their club, who had been a servant to their community, who had promoted the game. And, you know, we'd like to name the award after Deacon Palmer. And, you know, I feel like I need to fly back down there and I need to present this idea to Mr. Palmer. And Dow offered to kind of lay a little bit of groundwork before I went down, and Arnold agreed to see me. So I went down and I made the presentation to Mr. Palmer and to Amy Saunders, his daughter, Corey Britt, his trusted advisor was with him, as was Janet Hulcher, his longtime secretary there at Bay Hill. And when I told him what we wanted to do, he just dropped his head and the tears just started coming out of the corner of his eyes. And he looked up at me and he said, "Pap would really like this." And I'm gonna tell you what, in my lifetime, I don't know that I've been involved in a more poignant or profound moment than I was that day in his office, given, you know, who it was. And without question, we were supposed to, I was supposed to present the Deacon Palmer Award posthumously. That was the other thing that we did. We decided that we would give this first award to Deacon Palmer. And so Arnold Palmer came to the annual meeting in Indianapolis, and I was supposed to present that award to Arnold, and obviously didn't get a chance to do it because of my impeachment. And that was probably, unquestionably, was the most disappointing thing that I wasn't able to do in my presidency. But I really enjoyed writing that chapter in the book, and of all the things that I wrote in the book, that might have been my most favorite.
We're talking with Ted Bishop, 38th president of PGA of America, the driving force behind so many things during his almost two-year tenure as president of the PGA of America. He was unfriended, to say the least. He was impeached after comments on social media. And I was wondering, Ted, do you think the PGA of America rank and file has forgiven you? Do you feel any kind of nervousness about affiliation with you since all of this happened?
Oh, the support from the rank and file has been incredible. I mean, I've got a stack of letters and emails, here in my office that's well over 1,000. And, almost every week I still get a really nice communication of some sort from a PGA member out there. And I think that, the vast majority of PGA members around the country, really appreciated what I did for the association. But, they reached out and they made it a point to offer their support to me during that time and even up to now. That means a lot to me. I just I don't travel much anymore. I don't, get out and play golf anywhere really other than my own facility. But, I still appreciate that communication. So to answer your question, no, I feel like the rank and file clearly stood behind me then and still do.
Excellent. Ted Bishop, 38th president of PGA of America. He's written a book, Unfriended, just in time for Father's Day. There's so much about the PGA of America in this book and what was accomplished in the 2 years, and some background, of course, on what happened before the impeachment and then after the impeachment. Have you... If you had been, let's say, in opposite roles, you were on the board and someone had done what you did, would you have handled the situation differently? How would you have handled it?
Well, I think that's one of the things that readers will find interesting in the first couple of chapters that I wrote. There were other circumstances that took place during my presidency with other people that I felt like, we did cut some people some slack. We did maybe overlook some things. And I think at the end of the day, I prided myself on the fact that from a leadership standpoint, we had a real team there. And, we got a lot accomplished, as we've talked about, but it wasn't just me. It was the people that I worked with every day, whether it was Pete Bavacqua, the CEO, or my current officers. And I guess, when you make a boneheaded move like I did in terms of what I said, the terminology that I did, you'd like to think that you would have the resources of PGA of America behind you from a communication standpoint to help you get through all this. And, I don't feel like that was the case. And that was one of the points that I wanted to make in the first couple of chapters of the book. And again, people can, they're going to have their own opinion. They can read it. They can make their own determinations, but I think for me and probably my family, the book was really a lot about self-validation, and like I say, just the opportunity to kind of, at least in that little part of the book, tell my side of the story and do it with no filters or no media interpretation.
The name of the book is Unfriended. Was it cathartic to write it?
You know, it was. At certain points of it, it really was. I mean, you enjoyed writing some of it more than you did others, and I would have to say that when I wrote those first two chapters and kind of recounted the events, it was kind of painful. I mean, I'd spent a lot of time and effort mentally trying to move past this, and you couldn't help but dive back into it to do it. But when it was all done, I felt good about it. And I think for me, it was like finally maybe the last chapter in getting some closure in the whole thing. And I'd just be remiss if I didn't recognize and thank Dave Shedlosky, who's a veteran writer with Golf World and Golf Digest. And I did the writing, but Dave was kind of my he was my advisor.
He was your wingman.
He was, and he did a good job of keeping me on point. He helped me really kind of lay out the flow of the book, and you know, he kept the tone of the book where it needed to be. And you know, the last thing that I would say about that is, if there was one person in the book that whose opinion really mattered to me with the content, it was Tom Watson. And you know, I let Tom take a look at it, and you know, he really enjoyed it. He was very complimentary on the way it was done and how it was presented, and that meant a lot to me.
Didn't he decline an invitation to be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, he did. You know, he was elected to be inducted into the PGA Hall of Fame, and he did decline that based on the way he felt my circumstances were handled, and that was a tremendous gesture of friendship.
I found the book Unfriended at Amazon. Is there a place where we should go specifically to order?
Yeah, you can go to Amazon.com, or if you'd like a signed copy, you can go to tedbishop.org, and we can handle that. You can also go to my publisher's website, classicsofgolf.com. So there's three good ways that you can get it. And you know, I've always enjoyed talking with you. You've got a great show. I appreciate everything that you do for golf, and you know, thanks a lot for having me on, Danielle.
Absolutely. Ted Bishop, thank you so much for being on, and I bet you'd really rather be on the green taking care of your golf course right
no,
now.
I enjoy these interviews.
I understand loving to be outside. Ted Bishop, 38th president of the PGA of America, and the golf course I'm talking about is the Legends Golf Club in Indiana. It's Ted's baby. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Aloha. We're going to come back and work our yoga. Yes, indeed. She was named one of 2016's most beautiful women in golf by Golf Magazine. Mm-hmm. Her name is Catherine Roberts. Yoga for golfers. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone. 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone. Only the best.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special.
Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
Catherine Roberts is the founder and president of Yoga for Golfers, yogaforgolfers.com, Golf Magazine's 2016 Most Beautiful Women in Golf. And you can find out more about Yoga for Golfers in my column. It's at aroundhawaii.com. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Thanks, Danielle. It's nice to be on.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
And the number one selling golf conditioning book on Amazon for a while was Swing Flaws and Fitness Fixes, that is. And today you can find at yogaforgolfers.com really excellent videos to show you the moves and stretches. And what I love, you know, when you open a book, Catherine, and the page seems to speak to you? Well, I was going through your website, and I went to Yoga for Golfers this morning, yogaforgolfers.com, and they're exactly what I need lately. Reducing tension in the neck, trap stretch. Wow. That was perfect.
Good. I'm glad it worked for you. You know, we have something on the website. I just wanted to mention, we have something on the website called the Golfer's Profile. And for someone that's brand new to yoga and really wants to work on their golf game, they take the golfer's profile and just ask them a few questions, and then they receive free of charge a number of short video training tips that can get them started. So, for example, if you said, you know, you had an issue going on with your neck, that video will pop up right in your inbox.
You know, when you talk about if you have, I think for everyone in today's world of keyboarding, typing.
Right? I can relate.
Okay. And driving, working at a desk. The way you describe how that damages the posture of the neck, because it's almost impossible not to, because it requires a certain posture to do all these things. I think some people don't even realize that they're causing themselves injury and other or pain in other parts of their body because of what's happening in the upper part of the body. We're all connected like that.
Well, you know, you make a good point about posture, because posture is the foundation of your golf swing. It is the position from which all movement begins, you know, and in golf, we are in a static position at address, and that's all about posture. So, you know, we talk about C posture with a rounded upper back and rounded shoulders forward. Also, when you're doing that, your body's in that position and you lift your chin to try to see the ball, you're creating even more tension and compression in your cervical spine. So really, you know, the foundation of what we start with is posture.
You have a new category at yogaforgolfers.com. It's called Swing and Body Connection with Top 50 Instructor. I really like this. This is something in which you'll see Catherine Roberts, the founder and president of Yoga for Golfers. She founded this 16 years ago, or, you know, way before people really were talking about yoga. And she's working with a swing instructor. So you see both the swing and what Catherine says. What inspired you to do this?
Well, our programs are based 100% on the biomechanics of the golf swing. And you know, myself and my instructors, you know, we have certified instructors in 21 countries. And myself and my instructors, we focus on the movement of the body, not the swing mechanics, if you will. So, but it's very important to make the connection. So, for example, you know, if I'm working with a golfer and they say, well, you know, should I turn my left foot out so I can get more to my left side? Say, you know, that's a discussion for your golf pro, which is why we work with golf pros. My job is to make sure that you have the choice as to whether you want to turn your foot out because your hips are more mobile. Mm-hmm. So all the work that we do is, or the majority of the work that we do is specifically side-by-side and partnered with golf instruction. And that gentleman that's in the five videos on the website, his name is Tim Mahoney. He's the director of instruction worldwide with Bertrun Golf.
So he knows his stuff.
Yeah, he does. And Tim and I have taught together for many years. So it's, you know, and by the way, I just wanted to add this too, is that I'm a golfer and I've been playing golf my whole life. And so that's really, that's what started the evolution of yoga for golfers, was me being challenged on the course, taking up yoga, and having my handicap go from a 28 down to a 16, I went, oh my goodness, this is an aha moment. And that's when I started Yoga for Golfers, when my clients were coming back to me with the same benefits that I was getting.
Who told you yoga?
Well, I was playing golf out in Scottsdale, and the woman I was playing with was a 5 handicap. And I wasn't, as I just stated.
Yes.
So I thought, whatever she's doing, I need to be doing that. And it was yoga. And that was 17 years ago. And to your point, at that time, the creation of this was quite revolutionary, because yoga studios were not on every corner the way that they are now. But I immediately fell in love with practice of yoga, and then was able, again, to see the benefits in my game, not just from the physical perspective, very much so from the mental perspective.
There is an entire section, mental skills training and focus through balance. So when I was watching Focus Through Balance, I thought, well, how much of this is mental? This is more, I'm focusing on balance. Tell us how that work that you're doing in yoga helps you with your focus of the mind.
Well, let's take a moment and look at golf, okay? So the golf swing and playing a round of golf requires very short spurts of intense focus. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yes. So I use yoga and the context of yoga to teach my athletes how to cultivate the ability to be focused for very short periods of time, but intensely focused. And so, for example, a balancing pose, you know, we take a moment to just get centered, to take a nice cleansing breath, to focus on the ball, and then begin the balance. And, you know, most golfers agree that golf, obviously it's a physical sport, but it's hugely mental, hugely psychological. You know, we bring in concepts of confidence and acceptance and, you know, moving forward in one-pointed concentration. All of these yoga concepts I apply to the sport of golf.
Excellent, because that's exactly right. I mean, we're walking along, we're talking with friends, unless we're in competition, of course. But even then, there's all this stuff going on, all these distractions. You're not in the game until you get into the tee box and you tee up your ball.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, the concept of just being fully present is what we teach when we're practicing, you know, yoga for golfers poses. But fully present also means, you know, I could have just had a 3-putt and I'm walking to the next tee box. If I'm carrying that anger, that frustration, that emotional state to the next tee box, it actually affects my nervous system. It puts me into what's called a sympathetic state. So my heart is racing faster, my muscles become tense, and that affects my brain function, which is essentially course management.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking to myself, I wonder if there's ever been someone that Catherine Roberts, the founder and president of Yoga for Golfers at yogaforgolfers.com, has ever seen anybody, you know, in the midst of a golf round, just sit down and do a pose just to clear their mind.
Well, I'm laughing because it just circled around Facebook that Prince William was doing some yoga in the middle of a polo match. So I'm sure there's got to be a photograph somewhere of someone just dropping into a yoga pose.
that'll freshen your perspective. You know, you can get out of that moment. That is so
yeah.
Critical about being able to get out of the moment that you're stuck in. You know, you find yourself getting grumpy.
Yeah, well, you know, this is what we teach. The fastest way to instantly reset your mind is to take a long, slow, deep cleansing breath. Number one way to get you from this over-agitated state into being, in dropping into a state of focus and awareness is with breathing. And yoga is all about breathing.
So I can just see the person who's getting agitated and I say, breathe. Breathe.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what? This is also the concepts and the trainings that I use with all my Major League Baseball teams. You know, just step outside of golf for a moment, as I've been doing my methodologies in Major League Baseball for 13 years. And it's very similar, not just even in the kinematic sequence of batting and golf, but also this mental piece, especially for my pitchers, you know, to be able to slow down the pace, to be able to be fully present. Same concepts I use with my Major League Baseball team.
Oh, I can totally understand. I mean, you're out there in your position on the field, or you're waiting for your position. All of that being out there waiting is akin to golf, which in addition to the swing patterns and the muscle movement of baseball, maybe why so many baseball players make really good golfers. Because there's a lot similar. We're talking with Catherine Roberts, founder and president, Yoga for Golfers. Find her at yogaforgolfers.com. This is also important. I was looking, you can go to yogaforgolfers.com and you can input your state, your zip code, and find out if there is a Yoga for Golfers instructor who's certified by Catherine Roberts, the founder of Yoga for Golfers. I saw somebody, Amy Bird, in Kihei on Maui. And she is, I'm, you know, everybody is certified by you. So how does somebody go? Can I, if I'm good at something, good at golf and yoga, do I have to be good at golf to do this? Can I be certified?
Well, the certification is, you do not have to be certified in yoga. Matter of fact, we have PGA and LPGA teaching professionals that are certified. We have fitness people, medical people, chiropractors. We even have some physicians that have been certified in yoga for golfers. So one does not have to be a yoga instructor or even really know about golf. During our certification, which, by the way, we offer both in person and online for level one and level two for people that like to do home study, we teach the biomechanics of the golf swing. We teach how to work with your local golf professional so that you can actually build a business doing yoga for golfers and being certified and being part of our brand. I did want to also mention that all of our programs, the way that they're designed, whether they be the instant videos that we have or classes, live classes, are all designed to be taught in building blocks. So we always create a scenario where the client feels the success and they can see the difference. So, you know, there's nothing crazy. No, I've never done a handstand in any yoga for golfers class.
Yay!
So it's all taught in building blocks. And I say, even on the videos, you know, if this is good, stay here. If there's a little bit more, you can go here. If there's a little bit more, then go there. So it all builds upon each other. So whether you be new to yoga, new to golf, you know, between the videos, the books, and the certification, we have something for you.
This is good. I recommend Catherine Roberts, founder and president, Yoga for Golfers. And you can find everything that we've talked about at yogaforgolfers.com. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to come back and talk with Tom Patry. We were just talking about getting in shape for your swing. And Tom, president and founder of TP Golf LLC, Golf Tips Magazine contributing editor, Golf Tips Magazine top 30 instructor. He's also Golf Digest top teacher, New York State, and Golf Magazine's top 100 teacher in America. You see what I'm saying? He's got lots for you, for your game. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you heard about Oahu's newest premium cleaning service? I recently hired the Irish Washerwoman for my home cleaning needs, and I am impressed. They provided me with customized cleaning and scheduled based on my needs. I could not be happier with the services provided. What better way to free up your time to work on your golf game or catch the latest PGA event? Contact Shannon, the Irish Washerwoman, at 808-633-6327 or theirishwasherwoman.com.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Before we get to Tom Patry, who is a top professional in Florida and up in the Northeast, we are going to tell you a couple of things that you need to know. Okay, Women's Golf Day is at Ko'olina. It's on Tuesday. It's in 23 countries around the world, okay, from Morocco to Hawaii, around the world. And it's at over 400 locations from 4 to 8 p.m. Hawaii time. Women's Golf Day is at Ko'olina. The number is 676-5300. This is not just playing around a golf. This is either nine holes of golf or a little instruction for a couple of hours, and then getting together with the women, like-minded women, women you'd like to get to know who are participating in Women's Golf Day. You may find somebody you'd love to play golf with. At Ko'olina, Women's Golf Day, give them a call, 676-5300. And, very important, Poipu Bay is celebrating 25 years. This is their 25th anniversary. Fran Tarkington Financial Group's going out today. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Why is it important for you to know about this? Because you can get $25 off celebrating the 25th anniversary at Poipu Bay. Okay? So that's a really good deal. Thank you, Poipu Bay. If you'd like to play at Volcano, there's a 910, a 1040. Makalei has an 1152. Makaha East has a 930 and a 1023. And we've got over at Royal Hawaiian Country Club. It's wide open after 1040. And the group I Will Have Another is going out today. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Well, Danielle, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Are you driving up from Florida to your summer haven?
Danielle, I left Naples, Florida yesterday morning at 5 a.m. and got to a friend's house in Harvard Grace, Maryland at about 11:30 last night and collapsed and got this morning just to speak to you.
You're a doll. Now, where are you? What's your destination?
Well, Daniel, I'm at one place right now in Harbor Grace, Maryland called Bully Rock, which if your listeners haven't heard of it, it's a wonderful high-end daily fee spot in Harbor Grace, Maryland, a little north of Baltimore. And I'm setting up one camp here, and then once I get this camp set up today, I'm running up to New York tomorrow morning to set up a second camp, and I kind of rotate between those two places 2 weeks a month, and then back to Florida 2 weeks a month. So I'm kind of all over the place, if you will.
Wow. That's incredible. Okay. I need to go straight to Freddie Couples.
Go ahead. Of course, you're a female and you ought to go to Freddie and bypass me. I understand how it is. Okay.
Now, there's an article about Freddie coming over, and what you said is so true about golfers. When you're playing golf, you're not talking about your golf game. You're probably today talking about the passing of Muhammad Ali or something like that.
Yeah, very sad. Yeah, very sad.
Yeah.
Freddie's been a dear friend, Danielle, since college. We played against each other in college, and we remained very close through the years. And when we get together, we actually talk very little golf, as a matter of fact. We talk NBA basketball or Major League Baseball or NHL hockey, but very rarely we talk about golf. And probably in our 35 plus years that we've been together on, we've probably talked golf maybe two or three times in our lives together.
Yeah, it's exactly. But in your article that I was reading, it says couples reveals the secret to his putting success.
Yeah, that's one of our three conversations. I guess you pinpointed it. Yeah, and if you read that article, it discusses the belly putter. That article was written obviously pre the USGA rule change, and he felt like that had really changed his life, the ability to anchor the putter. So he's had to go away from that, obviously, now with the rule change, and he's gone to kind of a semi-couture kind of situation where it's mounted against his left forearm and putting that way. That rule change is really controversial, and you don't know me very well, Daniel, but I'm probably the wrong guy to get into a controversial argument with or a statement with, because I'll kind of go crazy. It's been a tough situation for a lot of guys, but he felt like anchoring that putter really changed his life.
In addition to his back issues, you know,
it
makes a big deal because it's hard putting when you have a sore back.
It's really hard, and that was also part of one of the reasons, and that's a great point, Daniel. It was one of the reasons he changed. The back issue was one of his reasons for changing and going with that style ladder. It allowed him to stand a little bit more upright and not put as much pressure on his lower back. So in that sense, it hurt him also, sure.
Yeah, but you do go on in the article to talk about some simple things that people can do to help with their game, some games, if you will, that you can play as you're practicing.
Yeah, I think practicing for the recreational player, Daniel, becomes a little tedious. I've been listening to your show all day, as a matter of fact. I heard a little of your Ted Bishop, and I heard a little of your Kathleen Roberts, and I think just a wonderful lineup of guests. I'm honored to be on there with them and with you. But the recreational golfer has to make golf fun again, and I think the instructor has to make golf fun for the recreational player. And stand on the range for an hour or two and just beat golf balls or just the same putt over and over again becomes more than tedious. And in a world full of ADDers, we have to keep people moving, keep them interested, and keep them happy. So I believe a lot of these practice games can be fun, and I don't think you should really stand anywhere for probably longer than 20 or 30 minutes doing one activity without changing and moving to the next one. So, a lot of these putting drills and putting games and chipping games and changing your target on the range and moving around a little bit keeps the interest level up and keeps the attention level up so you can, actually learn and have some fun.
Yeah, and that's what I do. When I was on the putting green last weekend, I just sort of, I made it speed putting. just see how I could do without taking too long, without overthinking it. But you talk about the carpenter's chalk line, a 3-foot 2x4, and a hole reducer as being really good things to take to the putting green to do some practicing. And you have the 6-spoke approach to golf. That's on page 89 of that putting section. So if you'd like to pick up, we're talking with Tom Patry, who has golf schools all across the country, along from Florida up to New York. And he's on his way setting up his schools. As we are talking, he's just come up from Florida, and now he's in Maryland. You have a really important tip, ball position, vital to consistent contact. So many people are not sure where to put that little white or yellow or pink, whatever you're playing with, that ball before you tee off.
Well, that's a great point, Daniel. And just to clarify for your listeners, Daniel, what color is your ball?
Mine is white.
Right, okay, you're a traditionalist. I love you already. That's beautiful. Okay, so we're on the same page. So my three generic checkpoints are the sternum for your wedges, your left breast for a 5-iron, and your left armpit for a driver. And if you measure that distance from your sternum to your left armpit, you'd realize it's not a very long distance, and you've got to incrementally put 13 clubs in there, from wedge know, down to your driver. So those incremental changes in ball position are very, very slight. Well, each club is a different length, and you're swinging the golf club basically in a circle. So where that club bottoms out and your ability to square the face at that moment, that one moment of impact, is pretty crucial to you playing well. So how many of your listeners out there, again, if you think I've ever stood in front of a mirror and put a golf ball down and stood up to a 5-iron 10 times in a row trying to put the ball in the exact same place, or a driver or a 7-iron? Probably nobody. And yet our friends on the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour are so gifted, and they're so able to find that exact spot every time in their setup condition because they've rehearsed their setup conditions over and over again. So many of our listeners rehearse their golf swing. How many people rehearse their setup or their pre-shot routine on a regular basis and just work on that for an hour? So I think to unlock the mystery of the golf swing, you have to unlock the mystery of the setup. And you have to have a routine that gets you into the same place every time, whether it be ball position or aim and alignment or posture or positioning or spacing or the way you put your hands on the club. And until you can conquer the setup and the pre-shot routine, you're not going to conquer golf.
Okay, and I'm going to have to ask you to repeat the position, the place for the ball that you started with. You said it so fast, and I just know people are going, what was that? Could you say that again, please?
So the three generic checkpoints are the wedges are on your sternum, the 5-iron is on your left breast, and the driver will be under your left armpit.
Got it.
And everything else will fall in between those three places. So to rehearse those 13 incremental changes from you know, L wedge down to your driver, it would take some time and some effort to kind of figure out how to put the ball in the same place every time.
We're going to take a real quick break and come back. We're talking with Tom Patry, and he's president and founder of TP Golf LLC. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's master craftsmen can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to The Golf Club.
KPUA Hilo, KGU FM, Honolulu, KGU AM, Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. We're talking with Tom Patry, president, founder, TP Golf LLC, Golf Tips Magazine contributing editor, Golf Tips Magazine top 30 instructor, and Golf Magazine top 100 teacher in America from 2000 to 2013. And from what I'm gathering, Tom, you're a big proponent of using the mirror. And I absolutely loved what I read here. How many times have you seen someone make a practice backswing, stop the club at the top, and look to check if the club is in position? While I'm sure leading tour professionals and club professionals alike know exactly what they're looking for, I often think the average club player simply mimics what he or she has seen a professional doing. That is so true, and I really wanted you to tell us what we need to do to learn where the position is. And before you tell us, I want to also let everybody know for Father's Day, we're starting our Father's Day giveaway a round for two at Poipu Bay Golf Course. Poipu Bay Golf Course celebrating 25 years, the 25th anniversary. All you have to be is the ninth caller, 808-296-5467. You can call from anywhere around the world. If you can get in, 808-296-5467. 296-5467. If you're on Oahu, of course, you don't have to worry about the 808. Give us a call and win the two rounds at Poipu Bay for Father's Day. Tom Patry, so what should we be looking for when we stop and check out?
I have to hang up because I got to call in. I want to win those two rounds. I got to hang up. Can I call in and just come back? And
you can have your friend in Maryland call in.
So I think that in 2016, oftentimes on the practice day, I'll say to an amateur, I'll say to him, what's the most important position in golf? And they kind of give me this blank stare like a deer in the headlight, and they struggle with the answer. And I say, well, is it your setup? Is it the top of your backswing? Is it your finish? Is it the extension and follow through? What is it? And they really struggle, and I get all kinds of answers, as you can imagine. Well, I think the most important position in golf is impact. So I've had the same three mirrors on my practice tees in Florida for 35 years. I feel like I'm married to these three mirrors, and they've been with me the whole time. And I use them continually for a lot of different things, and certainly the backswing is one of them. But if there's going to be a message I want to deliver, and I'm kind of skating your question here a little bit, I wish the amateur would become more involved in understanding the impact condition and how to deliver the club in impact and where their weight should be and how rotated their lower body should be versus their upper body and the extension of their arms and the forward lean of the club shaft and et cetera, hitting down on the ball slightly and compressing the golf ball. I think, when we play a target game, this is a target game. It's not a ball game. I think we confuse that sometimes. It's a target game, not a ball game. I think we get so bound up in our backswings that we can't deliver the club. And if you look at a lot of great players that have played this game, and we've been talking about Jim Furyk's backswing and Jack Nicklaus's flying right elbow and John Daly's overswing, and go on and on and on. There's a lot of funny-looking backswings that play pretty darn good golf. So one of the things they have in common is they can get the club back to the golf ball in a certain condition every time. I wish the amateur out there listening would spend more time understanding impact.
And so do you think it's necessary to use the mirror, positioning the mirror behind you so that you can check out your backswing, or should we just ignore that whole thing?
No, I don't think we should ignore it. I think there's something to be learned back there. But I also use the mirror to understand impact and rehearse my impact position, too. So I use the mirror for a lot of different things, not just backswing, Danielle. And I think that, we can always improve our backswing. We can always make the backswing a little more simple for the average player. But we've seen a lot of good, my point is we've seen a lot of great players get back to a great impact position from a less than pristine backswing position.
You actually made me feel a whole lot better because I often have no clue what's going on in my backswing. And I feel like, well, I should know. But what you're telling me is not to worry about it as long as I can get the club squared at impact.
I mean, well, listen, Daniel, would you teach anybody Jim Furyk's backswing?
No.
Okay. And we can go on and on. Like I said, Raymond Floyd had a funny looking backswing. Trevino slightly flat, Jack flying right elbow. But some wonderful impact conditions, And I don't think Jack's ever been really overly concerned that they criticize his flying right elbow a whole lot. He did just fine with his flying right elbow. So I'm not saying for one second that the amateur shouldn't try to make the backswing a little simpler. I'm just saying that's probably not the big kahuna, if you will, the thing that you really focus on the most.
Oh, we can relate. You just said big kahuna.
Yeah, I thought you didn't know I was Hawaiian, did you?
You dropped that in on purpose, Tom Patry. Golf Tips Magazine contributing editor and president and founder of TP Golf LLC. When are you coming to Hawaii?
Well, I've been in Hawaii twice in my life. I coached at an LPGA event there 100 years ago, Danielle, and I actually played one year in the Hawaiian Open qualifying at Pearl Country Club when I was still in my playing days. And I'm sad and embarrassed to report to your listeners that I haven't been back since then. And I'm ancient now, and I'd love to come back. I thought it was one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life.
You're ancient now. I love it. Wait a second. Okay, on your Facebook page, you have something here. It's Tiger Woods' comment. Days when you don't have it, you don't mail it in, you don't pack it in, you give it everything you've got, you grind it out. That's,
you know, I teach a lot of juniors, Danielle, and a lot of college players, and a lot of really fine young players, and in an age of instant gratification, I think that one of the things that troubles me the most with the young people today is that they think that, you know, it's going to be perfect every time. And as we know, we played golf competitively for any length of time in our lives, that this is not a game of perfect, and it's not going to be perfect every time. And you have to have an incredible resiliency and an incredibly thick skin to play this golf at a high level and be able to, you know, understand that there's going to be some shots that don't kind of come off the club the way you'd like them to and end up in some funny spots. And if you're not going to have a very thick skin and a high resiliency, you're going to have a very, very short career. So I think the mental side, and in your last guest, Kathleen Roberts, touched on, you know, the mental side of the game a little bit, I think, so brilliantly, that you really got to be in touch with that side of the game to play at a higher level.
Precisely. And finally, the two biggest myths in golf, keep your head down and keep your left arm straight.
Well, those are easy. So if you listen to go out there and employ for about 30 seconds the greatest teacher on the planet, and if they don't know what that is, they're going to be able to go see it. And just as soon as I hang up today, they can go see the greatest teacher on the planet for no charge. It's called YouTube. And if you go to YouTube, the great Annika Sorenstam, face on view, tell me if she kept her head down. And tell me if she kept her head looking at the golf ball through the impact position. And the answer is no. So I think that's a myth. One thing you have to understand about seeing the golf ball is I don't think anybody's actually seen impact. It's about 1/120th of a second long. And anybody tells you they've ever seen impact is delusional. So our head is in motion because our body's in motion. Okay, they're kind of attached to each other. And we have this thing called peripheral vision. So to transfer our weight from our right side to our left side, our head has to rotate and release at some point. Number one. And number two, the left arm being straight as a swing thought induces an incredible amount of tension in your arm swing. And the greatest players in the world have had the most freedom in their arm swings. I mean, if you look at Vijay Singh and Freddie Couples and Steve Elkington and Sam Snead and Bobby Jones, great swingers of the golf club, they had very little tension in their golf swings, and especially in their arm swings. And their arms are not perfectly straight at the top of their backswing. So I think that's a really, really dangerous path to go down.
You're great. It sure is a pleasure meeting you. It's
Danielle, awesome. I am so excited to have spoken to you today and halfway around the world, and I'll come back on any time. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Tom Patry, PGA founder and president, TP Golf LLC. You can find him online on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for being on the show, and I want to congratulate Henry Makua from Kaneohe. You are the winner of two rounds at Poipu Bay Golf Course. Awesome. And by the way, it's their 25th anniversary, Poipu Bay's 25th anniversary, and they're giving you $25 off. We'll be back right after this. We're going to talk with Ken Barley. He's the founder and the owner of Photo Ball Marker. It's a really cool Father's Day gift. Okay, you turn your favorite pictures or his favorite pictures into ball marks. And that's such a powerful mental image. It's for his mental game to see a smiling face of the child or the dog or the wife or the girlfriend he loves so much. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so you can do all of that. Plus, Ken witnessed the NCAA Golf Championships in Oregon. Wow. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's master craftsmen can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Come
Call Futuristone. 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futuristone. Only the best.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Let Shannon Brady from the Irish Washerwoman take strokes off your golf game. Why spend your precious free time cleaning when you can be out on the course? Your wife cleans, you say? Well, what better way to make her more agreeable to that Sunday round than freeing her from strenuous household duties by hiring Oahu's premium, reliable, and diligent house cleaners. Contact us now at 808-633-6327 or theirishwasherwoman.com.
Four!
Heat up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it! Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
There have been a couple of fours on the PGA Tour lately where, I mean, Tony Finau, his ball went right into that young lady's head, and he was such a sweetheart. He took roses and chocolates, and he went over and personally, I mean, I think he went to her house, you know? Tony Finau, congratulations for being the gentleman of the year. And there have been a couple of other incidents. I think John Daly's ball hit somebody recently. It's just, you know, another guy who got hit and he just goes, I'm fine. Wow, that's a thick skull. Ken Barley, 10,000 people showed up. I was watching on television. Kudos to Golf Channel. For, you know, so many of the NCAA championships are on television, usually the networks. But NBC owns Golf Channel. And now you can see the NCAA Golf Championships on television every year, women's and men's. And boy, after they worked out who was going to be in the match play, this went down to the wire. Three extra holes. Ken Barley is the owner of Photo Ball Marker. photoballmarker.com. Go there, check it out while you're listening, Photo Ball Marker. And you can see, you just take your photos from your collection on your computer, slide them over. I think you can, Ken Barley?
Yeah. So, Danielle, I got a question for you.
Wait a minute, we're in the middle of something here. Can I just slide it over? Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me, Daniel?
Yeah. Can you slide the photo just over into, you know, to order?
Gotcha. No, you still browse it, and then you browse it, and then a directory comes up, and you have to still select the folder. But once you select it, then you can basically highlight the area in which you want to make the ball marker from. So
gotcha.
You can actually edit the photo a little bit online. I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you're asking me on that.
It's okay. I think Ken is so excited about having just come back to see Oregon win.
Go Ducks. But I still got a question for you.
Okay, fire away.
All right. Do you know what would make an amazing set of ball markers?
What?
A 12-year-old grandson running around the house in the Hawaii beach. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
Oh, no. You know, would never want to give away how old I am.
So we should probably build those online, but I guess we'll let you do it afterwards.
Is building the order as easy as it ever was?
It's very, very easy. You just, like, we have our special page for the golf club. that gets $5 off. And so basically what somebody does is they go to golfclub.photoballmarker.com. And in there, you just say, create a ball marker and find your photo online and edit it. And then
you can make this
show you exactly what it looks like. And you can make as many of them as you want, as many accessories as you want, and make the purchase right there. It's really that simple.
And you can make a hat clip, divot tool, necklace, keychain. All of these are options.
Yes, we have a series of accessories. And, we have, like you mentioned, the golf necklace, which is really, it's a corded one that is really awesome for the ladies. And we got a divot tool and so we're different hat tips. And we also got jumbo ball markers now. We have a large poker size ones that a person can order.
Oh, cool. I can put my favorite card on there, Ace of Spades or something.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. And then we actually have a lot of people who order every Father's Day. They serve this group of users that we have that their kids have been growing up and their dogs and cats have been growing up. And each year at Father's Day, we see the latest version of the kids getting older and stuff. We always say our photo ball marker babies have now turned into youngsters.
And do you still do sparkles
We do sparkles when people ask for them. Yes, and those look awesome in the sunshine.
Yeah, in the sunshine, it's really cool. And what do you use to? What makes it look so thick and expensive?
Yeah, the epoxies are interesting. We epoxy dome them, and then like for the sparkles ones, we'll put some glitter in there, different colors depending on the background of the picture itself. We also edit the pictures a little bit. We send them up for folks, so when occasionally they'll chop off a head or two, and magically when they get their ball marker, it's no longer chopped off.
Unless, of course, they wanted to have it chopped off.
Well, then we get yelled at because we use a little artistic expression there.
I hear you.
Artistic leeway. But usually we do a pretty good job. And we've lightened up some pictures for people and that type of thing also. So we'll make them look a little nicer. The epoxy, one interesting about it, though, is we've actually gone to a green type of epoxy that we buy out of a company in Canada. So we've actually, it doesn't have any of the fumes or anything that, associated with other epoxies. So we've actually complained that we've gone green a little bit in our photo ball marker world also.
That's wonderful. You're always looking, that's why you're the star you are, Ken Barley, photoballmarker.com. You're always looking to improve what you're already doing. And that's the bottom line of for a successful business or businessman. You can go to golfclub.photoballmarker.com. And the reason you want to start with golf club is because you want to get a $5 Benny.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's perfect. Now, I was watching on television, and it was thrilling on Golf Channel.
But it was amazing there too.
10,000 people showed up. It was like the old days in golf where people were running across from one place to another trying to get in position to see the next shot. It was amazing.
Exactly. I told Charlotte I thought we were living the movie, the greatest game ever played or Hoosiers. I didn't know which one.
It was the NCAA Golf Championship in Eugene Country Club. What's that course like?
That course is probably was one of the very best courses in Oregon. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Bandon Dunes gets a lot of praise and stuff, but Eugene Country Clubs is 100-year-old full-grown trees, fast rolling fairways, lightning greens with long par threes, and the rough was high. And it sits right a mile away from Austin Stadium and 2 miles away from the University of Oregon, right in the middle of Eugene.
Wow.
It's an amazing place. And we went to Chambers Bay last year and watched the U.S. Open up there for a day. And we watched, this tournament at Eugene. And from a spectator view, this thing was crazy how nice it was set up.
So much better.
They did it so well. And then in those holes when Salman Raza, who's a local kid actually, was playing Taylor Funk with Texas at the Saiba thing. They would hit their shots and everybody would go rushing around the greens and Charlotte would have to run real fast, get ahead of everybody. I'd try to run fast, but it didn't quite work.
That's all right. It's
but
okay.
No, but it was like, you know, and they were all the way around and they had to let the players get through the crowd and everything, and then they tied the first overtime hole, and so everybody ran all across the fairways to get back to the 18th hole, and then they tied that one, and everybody ran back to the first hole to watch that one, and then when Salma made the putt to win it, the place just erupted. I mean, it sounded like a football game when it went in.
Oregon played into team match play, but they were seeded sixth.
This is totally, Oregon has a very good golf team and getting better, but this was totally unexpected. This was, Oregon played first, you know, the goal was just to get to the match play, and Aaron Wise actually won the NC2A individual team thing, and that propelled him into match play. But when they went in, they were sixth, and had to play LSU, which was a defending national champion in the 3-seed, Illinois, which was a 2-seed, and they were very good. And then Texas, obviously, was very good also. So they actually beat the 3rd seed, the 2nd seed, and the 1st seed. The only sad thing on the last game was the Hosler kid from Texas.
Bo Hosler, yeah.
Bo Hosler, thank you. I was trying to think of his first name.
It's okay.
But he's like 4th ranked in the world
or
something. And he literally dislocated his shoulder on the swing in the preceding match and ended up, I'm sure you saw it on TV, but he ended up putting out of a bunker and then putting in to win his match to put Texas in the finals. But he wasn't going to be able to play the next day. And they have a silly thing where you don't substitute. And I thought, boy, that's terribly unfair. I mean, it's unfair to Texas, who, you know, they're at a disadvantage over no fault of their own, plus one of their kids, you know, who would have played instead of he didn't get to play. And then one of Oregon's players, Fouché, he also is a local kid, and he didn't get to play in that championship match. And I thought that was actually the only, you know, disappointing thing in that whole tournament. The rest of it was just amazing.
And then so on social media, I saw a tweet this morning, you know, just because something happened to Bo, this most unusual circumstance, why should they change the rule?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you think they should
they should change the rule because the rule should be about the kids. And if you don't allow substitution, then you're denying a young man the opportunity to play in a national championship.
It's a good point. Very
and
good
that's
point.
That's my only point on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to be about them. It's not supposed to be about, you know, other things.
When I was watching Bo Hosler, you know, and he was talking about his shoulder and whether or not he'd play the following day, there was something, I thought it was just, you know, because I'm older and I have a child who's grown through his teenage years and what have you. he said, you know, if I could tell you if I could play tomorrow, I'd tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I've heard Tiger say that over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. One thing impressed me about him is I saw him walking around the course. That was real. The other neat thing about going to these tournaments is you get so up close to these players. It's different than a PGA event, you know, where the players are isolated. Here, you're among them. And I saw him at Internet Championship match. He watched every one of his teammates at different points, and he was there encouraging them and everything else. And it just, his character was very obvious to me in watching that.
Yeah, and he chose to finish college and not go pro, even though he's probably been lured by a lot of people to make that jump to professional ranks. Let's talk a little bit. Salman Raza is the local kid for Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
We went to 21 holes. And he was playing against, and this is the final match for the championship.
Absolutely.
So that you know, it was just amazing. And he's up against Taylor Funk.
Mm-hmm.
Does Funk sound familiar to anybody?
Yeah, that's Fred Funk's son is who that was. And it was interesting because we went at the course, it got to this one point where there was one other match behind them, but Texas was up two, and it looked like they were going to go to win that one. So with about three holes to go, everybody in that place all of a sudden is heading toward that 16th green. And it was just like, you know, it's like magnet over there. And then from 16 on, it was just, I mean, four worlds deep of people watching these two college kids, you know, play. And they weren't the superstars of their teams. Aaron Wise and Bo Hassler were the, you know, the superstars. These were the other kids playing. So it was so fun.
Yeah, and I saw it in reruns, highlight reels, because I was actually at work during the final. I had to leave to go to work. So I was following on Twitter, and it was one thing that you get a lot following on social media, because you know Twitter is so immediate rather than on Facebook.
Absolutely.
The only thing you don't get is the disappointment in the body language when Taylor Funk missed the putt, and
right.
It wasn't a long one either. And you could just like, oh God, that must have hurt.
Yeah, that's it's very difficult, you know, to have those kids miss you, sort of your heart bleeds for them. I mean, you're cheering like crazy for your team, but
yeah.
The same token is, you golf is so nice because you don't root against the other team. And I thought the fans there were terrific at that, too, because they cheered Oregon, but, you know, they did not cheer against Texas. That was obvious. So
Ken Varley.
It was everything right about golf.
It was
the best thing right there.
I like that. That's good. Ken Varley is Photo Ball Marker on Twitter. You can find him on Facebook, Photo Ball Marker. And if you just want to go straight to his site, photoballmarker.com. And if you want $5 off, you go to golfclub.photoballmarker.com. And you get $5 off your order. You can make a necklace. You can make a keychain. You can make a divot repair tool. You can do all kinds of things in addition to making your ball mark. And
right.
So
it makes amazing, amazing Father's Day gift. I mean, the comments we get on the way after they're received are just amazing. So your users can't go wrong by making one of these.
And you can get the silver dollar size one, too. The jumbo ball markers for people who really need to mark their spot.
I need that one just to see where my ball was on the green once I get 10 feet away from it.
There you go. All
right.
Yeah, okay, so we got to wrap it up and thank the people who make this show possible.
Ken, thanks for having us.
Absolutely, Ken. Say hi to Char for me.
I will. You bet.
Awesome. Okay, aloha.
Aloha.
And the people who make this show possible include Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. It's the Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Now, they are celebrating their 25th anniversary. And for you, to help in the celebration, they're giving you something, $25 off your round at Poipu Bay. You could also pick up a Vokey wedge for $109. That's a really good price. And there's 50% off in the pro shop on the selected men's and women's golf apparel or whatever you'll find in the special rack. Okay? Alrighty then. That's Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Creative Plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a hen house, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right, and there's nothing scarier than the water leaking out of your pipes or digging down and discovering, oh my, what's happened to those once were really cool brand new water pipes. Well, it's been that long since we had them put in. That's right. Call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your company, your home project into artwork. And if you want to put in, I love these pavers, okay? And this fine mesh that they put underneath as they put in the pavers for your parking lot, for your driveway. Do you know that they've made runways using pavers? And this mesh makes sure that nothing that goes onto the pavers and through water, like taking oil and what have you, pollutants into the water table. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.